Welcome to the Supported Living Property Podcast with your host, me, Lisa Brown, the place to learn about supported living property investing. In this episode, Paul Salmon talks about the housing and support needs of veterans and how he has found working together with partner organisations is integral to success. He also discusses the changing needs of modern veterans and the role of planned move-on accommodation to ensure veterans can transition to take on their own tenancies. Hi, Paul. It's great to have you here today. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm okay, Lise. Thank you very much. Busy boy, as you well know. But yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride since we started. But yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Great. Do you want to introduce yourself, Paul, and tell people a bit about you?
Yeah, I'm Paul Salmon. I'm working with veterans. I'm the veterans project lead with Bloom Housing at the minute, working up and down the country, supplying veterans with decent accommodation, whether it be social or supported. Obviously, I've from my past, I'm an ex-veteran myself. I was in the Irish Guards. Come out of that and I went straight over into prison service, where I'd done for 24 years, and then I'll come out of that. And I was in a bit of a quandary what to do next. While I was in the prisons, I did work with veterans on and off. So I tried civilian street, as I called it, you know, because being in uniform for such a long time. So I tried three different things and even tried to be a bookie with William Hill at one point. I didn't feel like sort of fitted. So I gravitated back behind the prison walls to work with shelter. And that's where the housing experience come in. And I started working with veterans, setting up forums and stuff like that. And then realizing how important and how it wasn't so a neglected service. It was how things were different with veterans in custody than the normal sort of flow of things, if that makes sense. Mm. So I worked with shelter for 2.5 years and then I stayed within the prisons, but then transferred over to the probation resettlement services where I was setting lads up ready for release when they're going out. It's called a through the gate service, which I love, to be fair. I was part of the pilot of that. And then I decided to dip me toe again and come back out into the community where I work with a local veterans charity, working with housing and stuff like that. And then Bloom come along because I realised the social impact of what was going on. And I thought, well, what better way to help veterans getting into support accommodation to owning the keys to the kingdom? So that's when I come out and started working for Bloom with accommodations up and down the country. And to be fair, it's flying at the minute. So that's where I'm up to as present.
And so what is it you're actually doing in this current role? Just to talk us through that a little bit.
So I guess any veterans that are declared homeless or are struggling in any part of the country, work with all the services I do. And they highlighted to me and said, Paul, can you assist a veteran in need? So I assess them. I find out what their needs are and then place them in an area that they can travel to. That's the beauty of veterans, that some of them are mobile. Some of them have no local connections. So the likes of, at the minute, got Liverpool, got Penta here, Liverpool, which is a 23-bed unit. Then I've got Hereford, and I've got Cheltenham, and I've got Plymouth, which is flying off the shelf at the minute. And other areas are coming online with Bloomer going out, identifying more houses for me and transferring them over to me as well. So, yeah, so it's anybody that is basically served in the forces, doesn't matter how long for. The veteran's such a weird sort of word, you see. Veteran world, it's like, yeah, you've got to serve so long. Now, under government legislation, it's all you need is your training. Right. So anyone that served one day is classed as a veteran, believe it or not. Okay. I usually call it people with military experience, because that seems to go a long way with people. Some people get very touchy about it and say, well, I'm not a veteran, they've not done this. However, they've gone through the basic training and stuff. So, which I'll talk a little bit more about later, but that's part and parcel. I pick them individuals up and work with them, try and get them back to some sort of sustainable lifestyle.
So any amount of military service, basically, whether that's your basic training, from your point of view, that makes you eligible for your services.
Yeah,
And then you guys step in and provide some support around, as well as the housing combined. Is that how you work?
Yeah, and it can be. I work with all the services. What I found since I've coming out into I call it civilian world, away from the uniform, is that people are sort of very precious about what they deal with. And I understand that because it's funding related and the fact that they've got to justify to get the next bit in and all that. And I use this words a lot when I'm speaking to people. And you get people who are very precious about the piece of the pie, about the cake and all that. I'm more of the all-you-can-eat buffet. Just come and take as much as you want, because at the end of the day, it's the client for me that's the most important thing. The services out there that are really, really good services that I work with alongside with. And I also tap into the local community as well. Because that's forgotten. Veterans are very stereotypical what they want to do. And it's because it's not a veteran service, they won't work with it. Mm. Whereas I'm bringing in a new sort of look on it, where it's you've got these fantastic, especially up here in the LA area, Liverpool, the community are being absolutely outstanding. They've adapted and taken the veterans' part of their own. And if honestly, some of the stuff that they've come in, donated, got them part of, and it's blown me away, to be fair, the level of support.
That's fantastic, because this is a fairly new unit that you've set up, isn't it? I think called Penta House, is that what you call it?
Yeah, it's Penta House up in the LA area, in Liverpool. Like I say, it's not just Liverpool veterans that we're taking in. It's a broad stroke up and down the country of veterans that have come here with multiple complex issues, which we put the support in place for them. Which again, I know there's other services out there and other supported accommodation, but the beauty of this is the national thing. For instance, if I had a veteran that was struggling in the Liverpool area and he'd come here, he stabilised and wanted to move on somewhere else, I work with another local charity, well, it's a national charity called Tail End Charlie. So they come up, they've been absolutely fantastic. They picked the individual up. We took him to Hereford. We based him in Hereford in our accommodation unit down there, and he was picked up by All Call Signs, which is another veteran charity, and they picked him up and worked with him down there as well. And we've also got a remote workers coming in as well to go in to give them that level of support that's required to get them involved in AA, get them involved with any substance issues, mental health, so on and so forth. So yeah, it's in its infancy, but I liken it to very much like the prisons. So if we had a difficult prisoner within, say, Walton Prison, we transferred that prisoner to Franklin because that was, it was away from whatever strife and troubles that they were dealing with. So again, with veterans, they're very mobile, very flexible in their approach and stuff. And if you have no local connections, no family connections, and yeah, that's fine. Okay, where do you want to go? Where would you like to live? What you need out of life? That type of stuff. So I base all that information, put it into a nice little parcel and say, right, there you go. Let's wipe the slate clean and let's start again. Fantastic. Obviously, with some of them, you have to work with probations and stuff and make sure that they meet the license conditions, get things transferred over and stuff like that. So there's a lot of logistics into it. But at the end of the day, if it gets the client the right start again to reboot and start again fresh in another area, I mean, for me, that's a win-win.
That's fantastic. Obviously, we're talking about property here, as well as all the support and the two combined. And, you touched on it a little bit earlier about the importance of property and realising that, how housing is such a key role in stabilising people and giving people that base. What would you say are the property needs of the veterans that you're working with? What do you think they need?
It depends on the actual assessments of the individual. From what, what I know is that mental health is the first tick in a box. So when you're looking at mental health, you've got to look at, right, the area of need where you're looking at. So all these houses that have popped up everywhere, that's fine, it's brilliant, but you've got to look at location, whether it's right for that individual and what support mechanisms around that area. So I look at the foundation, whatever area you go, I do all my homework on it, see what's needed. So for instance, veteran A has drug use. I'll pick on a case. So basically, drug induced psychosis. Mm-hmm. He's got bipolar. He's trying to wean himself off alcohol, and he has got a very loose connection with his family. But he's also on license as well. So in that you've got to look at that individual. Right. What you've got to prioritize what that individual needs. So you've got to hit on the key factors: mental health, getting the mental health support that he requires. So you've got the thing like ops courage. which is a national rollout for veterans with mental health needs. So you tap into that and other services that I use. I had the NHS in yesterday from Mersey Care who are coming into the unit now, sit down with the lads and discuss what the needs are and stuff. Because as a veteran, you get a priority with healthcare and stuff and mental health. So the guys don't know that until you sit down with them, explain to it. So then you've got to look at the substance issues. Who can help with them with substance issues? Who can sort of help them with going forward to get them away from alcohol, get them away from drugs and stuff like that. So you work with local services involved in that as well. So then you've got to look at family connection. It's all about reintegration again into the community and stuff and see what they can get involved with and what projects they can get things. So like I say, every layer you look at, you assess. So you have to make sure that the property is decent as well. There's a lot of decent properties out there, but there's a lot of awful properties as well. The way you look at things when you've got veterans in accommodation, I call it like a mixed bag of unstable dynamite. So when you put a lot of unstable dynamite into a bag and you shake it round about, sometimes that will explode. And that's what I'm finding here, is that you have a lot of difficult individuals, but each one of them hasn't really got the skills to adapt to civilian life. So you sort of isolate what their needs are and then work on that. I mean, obviously my background working in the prisons, I've worked with a lot of complexities in my time and a lot of individuals who are at rock bottom. So it's easy for me to identify for that. But the issue is, like you've just said, with accommodation, it has to be right.
Yeah.
You cannot just stick a veteran in accommodation and go, job done, see you later.
No.
Because it'll just implode. And some of the needs of the individuals I've been working with recently is next level.
You're talking about very complex individuals, aren't you? Some of those, you know, that case study you described is someone with really many different, support needs as well.
Lisa, what sometimes the public don't realise is that when you go through your basic training, the damage is done there. So you've got someone that's picked up from Joe Public. You go down, you sign up to it. You know, at the end of the day, you know what you're getting into. So you go into it and then they strip you of every bit of humanity that you've got. And they train you to kill people at the end of the day. You are in basic training to go to war, to go to conflict. That is your first thing you learn is how to fire a rifle, how to get yourself fit, how to get yourself mentally focused, how to react. So then you go through all that process and weeks and months sometimes of training, high intensity, people in your face shouting at you and all that type of stuff and working in all sorts of conditions. And it made me into a man. I always say that, you know, my lad just got out after 6.5 as a Marine and they have they're intense, the Marines, you know, quite intense. So again, but then you go through and you go off and you do whatever tour that you're going to do. I mean, I was lucky, to be fair. I was based in Belize for 6 months, Scotland, Cyprus. I was in Berlin when the fall, you know, fell and stuff. So I come away with hardly any conflict issues at all. However, there's lads that go through this, go to Afghan, go to the Falklands and stuff like that, you know. So that has a profound effect on an individual, that wartime approach and stuff. But the damage is done in training. So when your time is up and then you leave the armed forces, you get no time. You basically don't get decompression time. So they send you out then into the wilderness. All right, with a little bit of training sometimes, but 9 times out of 10, with no skills how to adapt to civilian life. And that's when it's a sink or swim scenario. You have some veterans who basically, they'll swim all day long. Like I did, I transferred into uniform. But because my forces background, my struggles didn't start until it was 2014 because I was like leaving one thing to another and I carried on. Whereas some of the lads that are leaving and ladies that are leaving are basically, you know, they're caught up in this whirlpool of, right, what do we do next? Where do we go? And you'll find that with most veterans that the relationships issues is another thing and how to get around that. There's a lot of basic stuff that we learn from the age of 18 to 20 odd. In our window, if you never signed up as in the forces, you miss that big window, you see, of that growing up in life and how to adapt and stuff. So yeah, there's all that. I mean, I could talk about that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about, isn't there? Because I think people have they're a veteran, it's a one size fits all, and everyone has an image of what a veteran's needs are. And actually, I think what you're telling me is that they're so diverse, and, you know, like you're saying, it's not just men, there's men and women coming out of the forces, you know, and everyone's perception is that it's generally men, and there's a lot of women veterans as well. And, you know, and I think it's looking at that. But I think from what you're saying is that from a property perspective, location is really key about service delivery and being able to access those services, you know, and making sure
if you haven't got a foundation in place, it's never going to work.
No, because
it's okay, like I said before, having a lovely little cottage in the middle of the woods somewhere, right? It's okay. Go on, Johnny. There you go. There's a house over there. Yeah, there you go. It's lovely, isn't it? Like floral wallpaper and stuff like that. I don't know where to get floral wallpaper from, but and then, you know, it's a case of, right, okay, what support you're putting in for that individual. Even when, because we do social housing as well, even with social housing, the end game is to get that person back out there, sustainable, get them fixed up here, reintegrate them into society, make them feel useful again, and get them employment at the end of it. You know, and I know, when you're in supported housing, there's a cost, because people go and do the exempt thing and all that, but at the end of it, there's no exit plan.
So
what we do here, we give them an exit plan, so we get them into social housing with that level, with that remote support then, because here they have, so a penthouse, they come here to stabilize. Then I get them that remote access, they'll move them into another property which is social, so they have to pay for this, that and the other, and by then they'll have them skills, because that's what they learn here. So they're ready to move on then. And then, to be fair, you know, they'll go out to get a job, because getting a veteran a job is not an issue. Is not an issue. To get a veteran training is not an issue. There's enough services out there that get the funding for it to get these people trained up. So they should have all them skills ready. So then it's here that needs fixing.
Yeah.
Because once this is fixed, and once you realise that they're an important part of society again, and then it's people's perceptions of veterans stem back. The word veteran itself is an illusion, because you think straight away, people think VE Day, World War One, World War Two, waving your flags and stuff. This is a new breed of veterans. This is a breed of veterans that bring with it a whole level of new complexities and stuff. And it's never moved with the time. So you have your old organizations in play, who have been around for years, who are trying to adapt now to the new breed. And it is quite worrying, because when you go and speak to these individuals, like they're still like stuck in 1960s, 1970s sort of thing, you know, where they've been dealing with that type of clientele. So again, it's when you've got a veteran who's come out of custody, well, that is a whole new playing field completely, because then you've got the veteran thing, the military, and then prison mentality as well. So again, it's social housing is not the greatest at the minute as well. So that's been a major issue, and that's one of the reasons I come into this forum and working on with the likes of Bloom, because then I know, right, it's very rare you'll find like someone that's willing to back you in this and basically go off your blueprint, what you want to do. And me, I think it's been a match made in heaven with this, because with these guys, they're willing to back my idea and say, right, okay, you know, this is what it's about. They believe in my blueprint and stuff. So for me, yeah, it's been a massive learning curve, because like I say, I've just told you about my background, but going forward with this, I can start seeing things being set up now, and the amount of satisfaction I get out of it, money can't buy. The adrenaline rush I get is, I mean, I'll give you one example. A lad that was living in a tent, 13 months in a tent, lost his son, lost his way in life, got into crack cocaine, and basically homeless, lost connections with his family and stuff. Northwest lad, come here with literally the clothes on his back. We took them in, got them all sorted with the deposit. And that's the beauty of it. It's a spontaneous thing. I do the assessment. Right, you've got a room. Give them 48-hour period of assessment. Say, right, let's see where you're at. So he's come here. And now we're talking 5 weeks. He's clean. He's not touched any drugs or alcohol. He's now doing projects in IT. He's going to the gym every morning. Wow. He's now reintegrating into society. He's getting involved. He's going to the library. He's talking to people, and he's going to AA meetings and stuff like that. You know, I pulled him to one side the other day. I said, do you realize how proud I am of you, the way you've adapted now, the way you've been? He had one blip, and we both sat down and we discussed things. I said, because in this game, it's a domino effect, which has happened. I'm not going to lie here. You know, you get one individual who falls off the pathway, and then it has a knock-on effect with the rest of them. And that's happened in other services as well.
Yeah, of course.
But when you get that one individual who comes here and you see him where he is now to where he was, I'm telling you now, the buzz I get off that is next level.
And Paul, I mean, last time we spoke, I think, was you were just going into this role. You were just talking about opening this thing called Penta House, and, you know, and it was, look how far you've come and look how much impact you've had. And I think, you know, it's fabulous just watching your journey with this and having these conversations. And I'm really excited to see what you do in the next 6-12, you know, months, and see where you go from there, because there's so much.
It has been, Lisa, it's been an absolute ride and a half, I'll be honest with you. I mean, tomorrow we've got Joe Egan coming in, celebrities coming in to speak with the lads, and the lads went out at the weekend and went to partner social event with Barry McGuigan, because we have boxing things here for them and all, because fitness is linked to up
it's
here
important,
and stuff,
isn't it? Yeah.
It's
brilliant.
So many things I've got planned. It's amazing. You know,
I'm looking forward to finding out more about them. Yeah. And I think you've done so well with the stuff. And I just think it's testament to how important pulling everything together is around the properties and how it all fits together.
Well, so services are important to each other as well, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know,
It's for me, it's where speaking to people like yourself and you pick up on experiences and dealing with other charities and see what they have and working with them and stuff. You pick up bits and pieces from everybody. Mm. The good intentions there sometimes, but they just get a little bit lost along the way. Yeah. Sometimes good intentions can overtake sensibilities and stuff like that. So for me, it's balancing that and working with everybody that wants to work with me. I'll shake anybody's hand, me, and I'll sit down at a table and drink a cup of tea with anybody, as long as they can promise me that they get the right result for that individual. Because that's what drives me.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. That's the most important thing. Yeah.
Paul, thank you. It's been really lovely chatting to you, Jay. Thank you ever so much for joining us. Thank you.